Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is April 20th, 2021, and we can't thank you enough for being with us today. Or perhaps you're listening on the archives, which we know a lot of people do. We archive everything over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. You're welcome to join. Everything we do over there for pre-K-12 is free, okay? So please go over there, check it out. And if you do go over there, you'll not only see all the podcasts we've done and a ton of other information, but you'll also see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's an online journal, and it is excellent, if I do say so myself. We reach 150,000 educators with it, and we hope that you're one of them. But if you're not, please go over and check it all out over at ace-ed.org. We got a real treat for you today. We got Nicholas Svensson, who is the CEO of Smart Technologies. We all know how good a company Smart is. Nicholas is an interesting guy. Okay, and Nicholas, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, sir. Okay, believe me, we're thrilled to have you here. Where are you calling from, if I may ask?
I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, which
Lucky
is just
you.
North of, yeah, still a little bit of winter here.
I live in Maine. I feel your pain. No rhyme that meant there. Are you getting snow? I know they had it in Denver yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We got 8 centimeters yesterday, so we're still recovering from the winter.
Okay, and how many 8 centimeters for those of us who speak in inches?
It's about 2.5 to 3 inches.
Oh, that's not so bad. You guys are tough there. You can always ride in on one of your many horses.
There you go.
Right. Right. No problem. Calgary Stampede and all that sort of stuff. It's cool stuff. It's
there
a pleasure to have
you
here, Nicholas. It really is. You have a great company. Well, just as we get started, before we talk about all the wonderful things, just tell everybody all about Smart. I think they know, but you're CEO, so just go into a little bit. Just tell them about it.
Yeah. So Smart Technologies, we've gone through, one of the early education technology providers. We've been in business for 30 years. For those of you that are familiar with our technology, you may very well have something in your classroom already. We've got a very broad user base, particularly in North America and the United Kingdom. And we are the category inventor of the interactive whiteboard or interactive front of room display. So we've evolved. We've kind of moved with the times, as everybody needs to. And, we're very, very excited about some of our new product developments, really leveraging cloud as a mechanism to deliver software and functionality with a real focus on workflows, teacher workflows in the classroom. So
oh, cool.
It's a real change of focus for us. We're very much committed to our hardware business, which is what our brand is known for, but really with a strong focus on teaching workflows, which we think is really the key to success in the classroom. So very excited about that, and we're seeing some great traction. And, we'll probably be talking a little bit about, COVID and what that's meant. But
oh, we are.
Silver lining with COVID. Yeah. All right. So I'll let you get going.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good because I want to say this, and this is really interesting to me. You have a master's from MIT. And what you just said about workflow management, I'm sorry you couldn't get into a good school, but MIT will work, okay? I live in Maine.
Yeah.
I'm close enough to MIT, okay? But I find this amazing. Your degree is in system design and management, okay? So who better to lead a company designing workflow products for educators, okay?
I think it
just works. Yeah. It works.
Yeah, it does. I'd love to say it was on purpose, but in hindsight, it's been very effective, especially,
Nothing. It's all random. It's all random, Nicholas. We never know where we're going to wind up, okay? But I'll tell you, it's really something. And just by virtue of the fact that you're talking, teachers are always – we'll get into the other stuff in a minute. But teachers are always talking about time challenges, okay, especially this year. And I very rarely hear the term workflow regarding educators. Okay, and I think that's incredibly important that we have that discussion, okay, because it's used in industry, if I may, and in manufacturing, all right, but rarely in the field of teaching. And considering the time challenge, I think it's incredibly important to start creating products and think about that and use the cloud and all those things you say. So as far as I'm concerned, you and Smart Technology, which, by the way, I have to say this, you guys are the inventor of the whiteboard. And it's almost like when you say, I'm going to go Xerox a couple of sheets of paper. You know, I got a smart board in the front of my room. It might even be another company, but they still call it a smart board. I'm going to use
they
Scotch
do,
tape.
They do.
I got a Scotch tape something. You know, you're the Scotch tape of whiteboards. Okay, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, it's really great.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. You just mentioned COVID. Let's just get into that. You know, and you said this a minute ago. You were in the ed tech when we had to say the words ed tech. And unfortunately, we still say the words ed tech when we describe that business category. But in reality,
yeah,
you're just in the education business because, we never said ed chalk, okay, or ed blackboard.
No, you're absolutely right.
Talk about that, just the evolution of the company.
I would almost stretch it a little bit further, Larry. It's educational outcomes is the name of the game.
Thank
in
you.
The business.
Thank you.
And so, you know, educational outcomes. But if you actually focus, which we have over the last couple of years, where we're, you know, very much, how can you, you know, quote unquote, guarantee educational outcomes? That's been one of those very kind of holy grail of things in education. It's a very tough question. But that's kind of how it's centered around, you know, how do we listen to our constituency of users and make their lives easier and really allow the teachers to do what they're experts at, which is teaching students rather than getting in the way with a bunch of technology, which is unfortunately what's happened with some of the, you know, I wouldn't call it ad hoc spending, but, you know, spending on things here and there without having a completely integrated view of how it all works together.
Yeah.
And we learned that the hard way, along with
everybody did,
you know, people bought smart boards and then forgot that they needed computers. You know, then you know, they had to have projectors, and then they had to have Wi-Fi or networking to connect things. So it's been a long journey. You know, my hope is now that with what we've just gone through, there's a really unified interest in getting it right. And I know that sounds like a big statement, but I think everybody is at a point of understanding the benefits of technology, the limitations of technology in the classroom. That we can have a very, you know, educated conversation about what is required to kind of take us to the next level. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I had on the show yesterday Colorado's Commissioner of Education, Katie Anthes, who's wonderful.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, on the show, one of the good things to come out of the pandemic is that I don't have to explain the importance of technology to everybody anymore. Okay, they suddenly got it after all these years, you know? Like, it's not like here's something new and exciting. No, it's 30 years old. It's time. We're into this, you know? It's not the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy anymore. It is, okay?
No, it is.
And
it's the adoption of the technology that's absolutely crucial for the success, right? And so COVID has really pushed that because nobody had choice. And that really highlighted some of the gaps.
And that's why we talk about equity so much here. And by the way, that word when you said it, the whole thing has become interoperability. You can't just buy product A and then product B and then product C and hope they work. You have to be sure they work. Everything has to be interoperable between everything else to work properly.
No, and I mean the users now, the teachers are very educated and have become very opinionated about the gaps there. So when you talk about integrations, it's all about, you know, contact switching, reducing that between applications or systems. It's got to be seamless, and it can't interrupt the flow in the classroom. And so the bar is being set now by the users, which is great, which is exactly what needs to happen at a level where it's really starting to make sense. And you're seeing some really good adoptions. Some school districts are out front, others are catching up, and others will. But it's a really exciting time because the users are now really have this understanding of how this technology can help them and the benefits that it has, also the limitations, right? But I think it's really, really exciting for an industry.
It really is. By the way, I just wrote it down. I was thinking about what you said before about workflow, which, and then what you said just now. It's really what we're talking about. Here's a new word for you. Go with it. Learn flow. Write it down. You can use that for the marketing. Learn flow. Learn
there
flow.
You go. You might see it.
Okay.
You might see it in one of our – yeah.
Call
sure.
me if you use it. I want royalties. Okay, but
there you go.
It's a good,
yeah.
It's a good one. Okay, stick with it there, Nicholas. It really is good. You know, let's take this year, okay, and talk about it from both what you've learned as a company and what educators have learned, because all this is going to be put together for the future. So as we get kind of back to normal, I hope Canada's doing well with that too. Okay, I don't actually know the status of most of the Canadian schools. You may want to talk about that, but you know, what parts of this era are going to be continuing? What do we need to know? What have you learned? What have they learned? Put it together. And how's Canada doing, by the way? Because I'm hoping to get to Quebec in August. But tell me, did I cancel the reservation? What's going on?
No, August, you're probably okay. Right now, I would just actually, you probably can't get in. We're just getting through the third wave. But this too will pass. And we'll get back to normal again. I think, you know, what did we learn at SMART? It was a pretty abrupt adjustment when things changed last March, which is almost a year ago today. You know, get real, keep it real. Those are kind of the words I used with my staff. And we reached out, you know, we have a lot of connections. And I said, let's make those connections matter. Let's really help the community that we sell into. They're not just customers that pay for things, but, you know, let's stand up with the coal face here and help them do their jobs. And we did, I think, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 webinars in rapid succession over the course of a month. And they were just work sessions. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. And I can't tell you how rewarding that was because it felt that we were making a real difference with our teachers. That we're trying to just do their job in these really trying circumstances. And so I was really proud of the team for doing that. But in the process of doing that, we received incredibly rich feedback on product, on what they were trying to do, how they were doing it. So we gained some really excellent insight. And I can't thank all the folks that participated in that enough. And we're continuing on with that because there's something there that is really special, and that is, you know, when everybody's in a crisis and you work together, you learn things. And so, you know, those connections are going to serve us well. We're taking the feedback that we received. We're eagerly working on how to improve our products.
Of course.
Particularly around integrations and applications that are popular. You know, we don't want to tell people what they have to get. We want to make sure that what they get works together with our stuff well. And so very, very happy to do that. And you know, it's just, it's been really rewarding to have a user base now that's adopting technology as widely as they are and having those really kind of good conversations, quality conversations about the use of technology in the classroom.
What was the commonality of the feedback? You talked to thousands of people, obviously, thousands of educators from superintendents, I'm sure, through over to classroom teachers. Okay, but what was the commonality, if I may, the common challenge or the common need or the common look at the future? You can do all three of those, but you know where. Well,
yeah, no.
Thousands. How do you knock it down? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Starting with the most obvious, which was connectivity, right? Wideband access. It became, you know, the equity issue just stared you straight in the face, right? And so every student not having a device, that's a real showstopper, right? Followed by you can't get onto the classrooms. That's another showstopper. Of course, so those that was probably the biggest thing. The districts that had, you know, started the deployment of technology, you know, next generation cloud-based technology before COVID hit, they were far better than the ones that didn't, who were trying to catch up. And, you know, we worked with Palm Beach, for instance. That's a huge district in Florida. As you may know, Florence One in South Carolina. I got to say, Florence One, they were on this last year. So they put the infrastructure in place, training. They had everything working really well. And you know, they got the benefit of that during the pandemic. So connectivity and equity, you know, I would say top of the list. Then it really became professional development, how to get the teachers up and running effectively given the plethora of tools that they were using. And then the third theme, which is the one we're still struggling with, really, I mean, we're all three are still issues, but the third one, which is still we're still struggling with, is student engagement and learning loss, right, through this whole pandemic. Learning remotely is you know, kind of interesting for a week or two, but when it gets into 12 months, kids are losing interest. You know, it's kind of the same old, they miss their friends. So, you know, social, emotional learning, student engagement are absolutely crucial, and they need to be factored into whatever we do going forward. So that's also part of what we're looking at, is how do we make sure or how do we help? I shouldn't say make sure. How do we help teachers and educators and parents, in fact, have their students engaged, have their kids engaged? And I guess there's a fourth thing as well, which I just mentioned there, which is parents, right? Parents have been much more involved. Yeah, parents have been much more involved, forced to be involved in their kids' education, which is great. I'm not sure all the parents would agree with me on that. Parent involvement has skyrocketed. And I think when you get the whole community together and you have common issues, there's great power in that when it comes to solving problems.
Nicholas, when you look at SEL, let's look at all of it, connectivity, parents, et cetera. But you guys are an equipment company, if I may, a connectivity company. How is, when you hear these things, how does your company, react to, we need more SEL, we need more parent involvement. We know that.
Yeah.
What does a company like Smart do when you get the word on that?
Yeah,
as you look to the future.
You've actually touched on, the strength of our brand, and then, which is not really aligned with where our focus is right now. So we're absolutely, a hardware company for sure. Everybody, that's what everybody knows is.
I couldn't think of the word. Thank you, hardware. I was trying to think of the word. I couldn't think of it. Thank you.
Yeah. But really, 60-70% of our development effort, which is primarily based here in North America. So we have, 150-200 developers are really working on the software and the interactive activities and our, character-driven IP, which is really around social, emotional learning. So if you look at some of the work we're doing, we have a product called Funterra now. It's getting good again, going to get into some social, emotional learning elements. So content, software, interactivity with games, things like allowing teachers to do a bit of a social emotional check at the beginning of a lesson by putting an interactive quiz in, for instance, or just having a Q&A session at the beginning of a lesson, enabling the teachers to put that type of interactivity or content into a canned lesson that they have or something that they've already prepared easily, are ways that we're looking at the social emotional aspects of what a teacher does or how a teacher can help with those aspects. With respect to parents and things, as soon as you go into the cloud and you have data and you have lessons and things, there's a lot of data, student data, student progress that can be shared with a parent. I mean, you have to stay within the privacy, data privacy, the strict data privacy rules, of course, which we're very concerned about and which we pay a lot of attention to. But, if you do get the permission, there is a window into the child's learning that the parent can share with the teacher. And, part of that is how are they doing at home? How are they emotionally? And that feedback loop, I think, is very powerful. So those are the kind of tools we're putting in place, all enabled by technology, but a lot of it, most of it is on the software side. Of course, we're doing other things as well when kids get back to the classroom, where we're going to be monitoring the health of the classroom through sensors and things like that and the overall environment. But that's a little bit in the future because the biggest priority right now is to try to get kids back to school.
Exactly. By the way, what is going on in Canada, up in Alberta? What's happening? Are the kids back?
Yeah, so in Alberta, we just had we're doing a shutdown again. The reason being, we're right in the middle of a third wave. The third wave for us is actually bigger than the second wave. So the vaccines here, and everybody got a little bit out over their skis, as we said. So we're slowing things down, get the vaccinations rolled out. So we're in a school lockdown right now, and we're back to remote learning in Alberta.
Cool. And what about at the company? Are people coming into the office, or are they working remotely now? What's that?
You know, we've taken a very flexible approach to that. I'm very proud of what we've been able to do. So for folks that have to come into the office to be productive, some of our testers, some of the people that need the infrastructure, we've allowed them to come back into the office under some very, you know, strict protocols with masks and hand washing and social distancing and things like that. For everybody else, they need to sign up to adhere to the policy, the COVID protection policies that we have in the office. And if you need to, you can come in, but we're just as happy to have you work from home. And
cool.
So we're letting people kind of decide on their own, but we're providing the framework to make that decision.
And I must ask your CEO, we're getting a lot done everywhere in the world with people working at home. Okay, do you think that's going to continue as a trend? Because we can ask about the future of schools in that regard as well. Okay, I use it this way, that great physics teacher, okay, that little tiny town in Alberta can't get, they can get them now, even if that person's in Birmingham, Alabama. Okay. So how do you see it for the future of the workplace? Again, almighty design and management person. Okay, what do you see?
Yeah.
And for schools as well?
I do actually. I think it's a tremendous trend that has really opened people's eyes, right?
Yeah.
Like what is the workplace? And I mean, like educators, we have a challenge in hiring the top and the best talent for anything. So we've been forced to work across borders, multi different locations around the world, because we're simply trying to attract the best talent to help us be successful. I think education is very much going in the same direction. And, you know, the tremendous opportunities with respect to teacher flexibility now, being able to teach remotely. Think of a school district that says has one excellent physics teacher, but he can only be in one school at a time.
Yeah.
That physics teacher now could technically cover 3, 4, 5 schools geographically.
Exactly.
Right? By simply dialing in remotely. You still have a teacher in the classroom, but you now have a subject matter expert teaching a subject. And
exactly.
And I think so I think you'll see a broader use of that. I also think that you're going to have, and this is a little bit controversial, of course, but I mean, I've seen it in countries like India and things where tutoring is a big deal, but you're going to have an opportunity for teachers that are expert in their field to have academies set up online where they can do after-hours tutoring or teaching on subject matters. And we're already seeing that. And, you know, that's one of the issues always with education is there's always constrained budgets. And so I see that as an entrepreneurial opportunity
coming
out of places like India. Yeah. And I think that'll be a big boon, you know, because having subject matter experts teaching is so engaging and just interesting. In fact, I just watched the Richard Feynman lecture the other day, and I no matter who you are, you feel smarter after you leave the lecture, and it doesn't matter what the topic was, you just feel smarter. Can't remember much afterwards, but it just the experience was great. So I think we'll see more of that, and I think that the parents will expect, you know, a higher degree of expertise, which can be served through that kind of a means. So I think that's absolutely excellent. The other thing, of course, is, you know, as a teacher, can you teach from home, right? Is that an option, right? And so it just gives you that flexibility. In Canada, we laugh. Snow days have now been officially canceled forever, right? You know,
I have a funny story from one of the superintendents in Illinois, okay, where they get tons of snow. And he said, this year was so nuts that even though nobody was in the school buildings, I gave them the snow days off, okay, just so they can have a sense of normality, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody likes a snow day, you know? We could give them the
day
off so they did.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, it's like a little surprise, a little gift. And, you know, everything is going to be changing, all right? I sound like I'm 300 years old, but it's true. Everything's going to be changing, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, economically, and let's use physics again, if that physics instructor in Birmingham, Alabama, can teach kids all over the country, and they can all Zoom into a class or however you want to say that, okay?
Yeah.
You can have, okay, as your physics teacher, an aide, okay? In other words, economically, this is going to work out, okay? We have to really look at everything, okay, that matters in all this. You know, it's just there's whole different changes, and boy – And this brings up our favorite thing. We're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. You might have heard me say that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, we're so concerned about the equity, and I'll use where I live. I live in Maine, okay, and Maine's a big state. You know, it takes me about 7-8 hours to get to the top of Maine. I live in southern Maine, okay? It's a big state, and those kids up there, all the good kids in Aroostook County, with the top of the state, okay, right along the Canadian border, okay, between New Brunswick and Quebec, okay, those kids, they can't. The teachers are wonderful up there. Don't misunderstand, but there's not a lot of people up there to choose from, okay, and so they can now get that quality physics teacher, okay, up
That's
there.
Right.
This is
That's
going
right.
to affect everybody, okay, and. Here's the thing, and I always say this, we knew this. We've known this for 10, 12 years, okay? But we keep sweeping it under the rug. We'll just keep going what we're doing. And we've got to understand, and hopefully this pandemic will be the opportunity. I hate to say that considering the horror of it, okay? But we got to make some lemonade out of lemons, okay? And hopefully we're going to see some real changes with all this because it's amazing. And I'll give you another example, which you brought up. You talked about putting SEL at the beginning of lessons, okay? That has a big impact because we have a tremendous lack of guidance counselors, okay?
Oh, yeah.
One counselor to 900 kids. But we still have to be aware of the social-emotional toll on kids pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, and during the pandemic, okay? So when you add that in, it creates, if I may, a flag, okay, that we can at least, as lay people, even though we're teachers, understand this kid might be in crisis. Who can I send them to? All right? And hopefully
You're absolutely correct. And, I mean, one of the things that, you know, when I was working in operations, one of the things we practiced was theory of constraints. It goes back a long way in operations. But basically, put your resources where you need them. Decide what your bottleneck is and put your resources there to make sure that your bottleneck is always, like, fed. And so I think that with a lot of the rigidity around budgets and overheads and things within education, we haven't had a way to reshape it to put the resources where we need them. And the pandemic and with this, you know, wave of funding that's now going to come in specifically in the U.S., you know, my hope is that we rethink it. In a way where we look at all these things and say, you know, we need more than 9 guidance counselors for 1,000 students or, you know, 1,000 students per guidance counselor, right? And so, hey, let's take some of the operating expense money from here, invest it in this area because we can do it more efficiently by pooling resources, drawing in experts, not duplicating things. There's a huge opportunity there to really kind of realign our educational system with the realities of today and the needs of today versus what it was in the 30s and 40s. And that's the opportunity ahead of us. I really hope that we don't squander it. I've seen deployments. A country that's doing really well on this area, Larry, I think, is going to be Germany. They did a 5 billion euro, what they call the digital pack rollout, and they've insisted on what they call IT plans from every school district in Germany before they get a full-up plan of how they're going to deploy technology and content and all this stuff before they get any funding. So I hope that there's some requirements around the funding in the U.S. that will require, you know, some bigger thinking around what is it we're trying to achieve.
Nicholas, if we don't learn from this, we're going to pay a price that's beyond belief. Okay, if we don't do something different and make it happen. And I think you just said that education was kind of geared in the 30s and 40s, the 1930s, 1940s. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to remind people so how far behind we are. We're coming up on the 2030. We're coming up on the next ones, the 2030s and the 2040s. Okay? And
That's
we
right.
we can no longer compare that to 100 years ago. okay? We have to do something different. It's just unbelievable. And I want to kind of wind down a little bit, but I want you to talk about this. I'm going to throw out my favorite word these days, equity, and equity gaps, and just talk about that, what we've learned.
I think equity, it's something that is talked about in the United States more than anywhere else. Obviously, here in Canada, we talk about equity as well, but it's much less of an issue, I think, because we have different ways of funding. But equity, I think it's gonna evolve, Larry. Once we get all the kind of easy stuff, and the easy stuff I call is like access, like we talked about network access. We're gonna talk about devices, things like that. The hard part, and this is the thing I think is really going to be difficult, is that when you get some of these things fixed, I think the average school day, the educational school day, is going to be 3-4 hours long. And so then you're left with, 3 hours of time where what do you do with the students, right? And those with means are going to have a whole bunch of activities lined up, and those without are not. And I think that that's going to be the next kind of wave of things we need to deal with. There's a lot of things that you can do with students, you know, and I'm thinking particularly on mentorship, apprenticeships, real hands-on skills. And that requires people with experience to get involved in education. But I think that will be the next challenge, because I think once and if we get these, inefficiencies sorted out, you're going to find that we have more free time, and it's really filling that free time with something productive is going to be the next challenge. But it's a really positive one. I mean, but equity is going to play a part in that as well, in getting skilled people with trades knowledge and expertise in industry or wherever you want. To take students and learners and really kind of get on the hands-on portion of learning.
We have to be very careful because, as you said, there is a difference between rich and poor, okay? Yeah. Lower economic, upper economic. Some kids are taken care of, others are not, all right? It's just that simple. And we just have to take care of it. There are so many changes coming down the pike, and you were thinking them all out. I can't thank you enough for being here today, Nicholas. It's just great. I'd love to talk to you further, if I may. Okay, that'd be just great.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate your time, Larry, and thanks for having me on your show.
Well, you bring a lot of insight to it, my friend. You really do, and it's great to know that such a well-established, terrific company, literally the inventor of the whiteboard and all that sort of stuff, okay, is just thinking ahead to the future, and you guys are evolving as education evolves, and I think it's just wonderful. Congratulations. Thank
Absolutely.
You for all this. Okay,
yeah, thank
stay
you.
Safe. Stay safe,
yeah,
okay?
You
stay
too.
In that
you
bubble.
Too. All right, hope.
Okay,
hope to
take
see
care,
you
Nicholas.
Yeah, all right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That, everybody, is Nicholas Svensson, and Nicholas is the CEO of Smart Technologies, Smart Ports, all right? And is a very interesting guy, okay, as you heard, and... I love that whole idea. Learn flow. If you're still listening, Nicholas, learn flow. Okay, there you go. There's your new tagline. All right, it's good stuff. All right, we'll archive the show over at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity. Join with us over there. Read our magazine over there. Everything we do is free. We'd love you with us. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Janet, thank you for putting together this show for me and everybody. We got another show coming up in about 45 minutes. Thanks for listening.